Well, would you put your hands together for me, and would you welcome Ken Doubt, our missionary to Nicaragua.
I'm going to get my hug here. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you.
I love this church. I really do. We've been stateside since April 7th, and no churches are the same. And if you're visiting, you don't need to search any longer. This is an awesome church with a great pastoral staff and a great presence of God in both services. I wish there was a third one. I really enjoy. I don't know if it's just worshiping in English or just soaking in the presence of God. So thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for allowing us to be your missionaries. Please allow me to introduce my family. I have three. My kids are with me this morning. Kiana, she's 11. She's sitting there. Cadence, 15. And Caleb is 14. They're kind of tall. That's what rice and beans will do to you. And our adopted daughter, Bailey's sitting there. If you don't know, Bailey was with us for the past year in the Engage Nicaragua program. And so, parents, you should be very proud of Bailey. She is a blessing. Because, you can do anything for 10 days on a missions trip, right? You can put up with certain things, cold showers, not flushing toilet paper, eating interesting food. But to move overseas, away from parents and, go through culture shock, I become that sandpaper in our students' lives that God uses to chisel out the hard areas. But the truth is, they become sandpaper in my life. We are blessed to have a program in Nicaragua where college-age students can come and just put themselves in a position where God can clarify their calling on their lives. Because there's no greater place to be than to be in the center of God's will. Amen? Amen. And it's great to be here in the house of the Lord, worshiping with you, with Northville. You guys have been, we have been your missionaries for years now. You have been financially supporting us and what's been going on in Nicaragua, and we do not take that for granted. We are so blessed. We're so grateful for the sacrifice this church has said. In the first service, I think Pastor said over 70 missionaries you guys support. Wow. Amen. Amen. There are some Michigan churches that don't even support one missionaries, and so thank you. Thank you so much. Before we show a video here, I want to explain why my wife is not with me, because you're missing out. You have this bald guy in front of you, and how I told someone this week, it's kind of like telling my kids, hey, we're going to Cold Stone Ice Cream, which I don't know if they even know what that is, but it's like showing up at Cold Stone Ice Cream, and it's all you see is a cold marble stone instead of ice cream. My wife is precious. She is anointed for such a time as this. You should see her in Nicaragua. She has such a favor from God everywhere she goes. In fact, a little background on what we kind of do in Nicaragua, and I'll share more. Nicaragua is the third poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. It's very poor. It's very needed. There's lots of needs everywhere. And we landed there in 2008 just wanting to serve. Wanting to come alongside the pastor and say, Pastor, what's your vision for your people, Because God can speak to them. It's, I don't want them to become dependent on us. And it gave them such ownership. And we got to build relationships throughout the whole country. I traveled with the executives, with the superintendent, and other missionaries. We built key relationships. But out of that, God started to open up doors and put us in touch with an organization out of South Bend, Indiana called Feed the Hungry. And they started sending us containers of food, absolutely no cost to us. Currently, they send over 30 containers each year to us, and we're able to use that resource to provide food for over 38,000 kids each day, get food out of over 319 feeding centers throughout the whole country. It's a very poor country. Over 50% live on less than $1 a day. Close to 70% lives on less than $2 a day. And around 65% of the kids don't go past the age of sixth grade. Lots of needs, but God has, over the years, have expanded what we do in Nicaragua, thanks to your prayers, and has given us so much favor. But over the last year, there's a lot of interesting things going on with the country I can't really talk about. It's a socialist country, but God has given us a connection inside the government that helped us clear some containers just by snapping his finger, basically. And so much favor that if you know my wife, she's like, hey, I would like to have a meeting with the president of the country. And so, long story short, received a message not too long ago that first of two meetings was this past Thursday with the president's office of the whole country, and it went very, very well. They actually may give us a presidential pass to bring anything into the country, which is a huge blessing to the people of Nicaragua. So that is where she's at. She's in Nicaragua. And amen. The first meeting went very, very well. She has another meeting coming up this week, so if you think of her, please pray for her. God's favor, that God's will be done. God has taken care of us and through helps from your church especially. Like I said, from the very beginning, you guys have stood beside us. And we've prepared a little video, just a highlight video of what you have been a part of, because teamwork makes the dream work. And we might be full-time missionaries in Nicaragua, but we're just an extension of this body here. And so as you watch this video, this is when you support missions, this is you guys. This is what God has used in Northville in Nicaragua. This is how he's been using you. So take a look. Let's praise him through this video.
The words thank you will never be enough to express our thanks to each of you. You have literally traveled with us downriver in dugout canoes into remote indigenous communities who have never heard the name of Jesus. You have walked through these dark and lonely streets, rescuing abandoned children. You have hiked hours up mountains to visit churches where no missionary has ever gone before. And you have scavenged through the dumps of Nicaragua alongside of us as we have preached salvation and healing to the forgotten. You have been hand in hand with us as God has helped us to reach the least of these. You have helped us to build 15 churches and children's centers, the most recent being Casa de Adoracion, which means house of worship, and is located just outside the garbage dump where we have seen 4 physical miracles and more than 50 people come to know Jesus this past year. You have helped us provide camps where thousands of children were bused across the country for a 3-day encounter with the one and only Jesus Christ. You continue to help us provide warm meals for more than 35,000 children every day that suffer from hunger and malnutrition. Children who face greater trials and tragedy on a daily basis than most of us will experience in a lifetime. You helped us get thousands of children into school through the Uniform Project, who now have an opportunity to receive an education and rise up out of the cycle of poverty they live in. In 2010, we launched Engage Nicaragua, where God has entrusted us with equipping more than 40 young people to pursue the calling God has put on their lives. Today, more than 50% of these students have already been approved by Assemblies of God World Missions and are now currently pursuing missionary assignment. You were with us during the flooding in Alamicamba and during Hurricane Otto when it hit Nicaragua. As our team traveled long and far to be the first responders to the people devastated by the effects of these natural disasters, you were there. You crossed rivers on cargo boats and dangerous waters, carrying relief supplies, and most importantly, the Word of God to the people who had lost all hope. Together, this is what we've done, and all in the name of Jesus Christ. In 2015, a dream God placed in our hearts many years ago began to become a reality. We stepped out in faith to purchase these 26 acres of land in Chiquilistagua, Nicaragua, soon to be a place of refuge for children and a missions leadership training center where young people will be equipped to go to the ends of the earth. You have put every available resource in our hands and encouraged our hearts. You have prayed for us fervently and given sacrificially. We have seen God effectively use you to help fulfill the Great Commission. May God bless each of you beyond measure and may He multiply your every sacrifice. And like the words of this song, may your prayer for us be that they will see Jesus in all that we do.
Huge thank you. Thank you. That's what you've been doing in Nicaragua. So much favor. And we know it's not about us. It's scary, crazy how much favor God is placing upon the ministry in Nicaragua and what He is doing over the last few years. And so it's just great to be with the part of the body that's been a huge part. And the video saw Hurricane Otto. That was this past Thanksgiving. Interesting, talking about God's favor, is the government didn't allow any relief organization in that part of the country at all, because actually they wanted to take all the relief stuff, which they did. They took all the relief from all the different organizations because they want to be the only one passing it out. But we don't play that way. And God's favor, we were the first responders, and not only that, the government allowed us to go to the very south, east part of the country, that actually the government actually gave us their boats and military equipment to get our stuff there at no cost. And so God's favor, God is doing something so much bigger than you and I, and all the glory and praise goes to Him. And when we go to Nicaragua, it reminds me of the passage in Mark chapter 10. Verse 46 through 52 of the chapter 10 of Mark, there's a story, and I'll paraphrase the story. You can read it this afternoon, maybe sometime this week. It's about the blind beggar on the side of the road. Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem, passing Jericho, and here's this blind beggar on the side of the road that cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me," you know, because he knew that he was Jesus of Nazareth. He knew he was the Messiah. And Jesus stops, even though the crowd's like, "Oh, no, buddy, Jesus is coming by." He still cries out, and Jesus stops and tells the people to call him closer. And if you read it, the people says, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." You can find that in verse 49. And immediately Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind guy goes, "I want my sight to be recovered. I want to see." And God heals him. And he throws off the cloak and follows Jesus. And I paraphrase that story. Please read it. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. Let it minister to you, because I don't know your situation. Yes, today is a mission focus, and I love mission focus. I really do. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, where Jesus ascended into heaven, and the disciples, all the people were like, looking up, you know, and how God sent two men to say, "Why are you standing looking to heaven? You know, remember, go and make disciples. Go and wait and tarry for the Holy Spirit." I love Mission Focus to just encourage all of us that no matter if you're here in Northville or in Nicaragua, God is crazy in love with you. He is so in love with you. I don't know what you're going through, but I know God is here. His presence is here to touch. Just like He healed the blind guy in this story. And back in Nicaragua, we walk in with our engaged students, and we see things and we smell things. It's like, we just don't understand. We don't understand. Maybe I don't understand why I was born in Allegheny Hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1975, rather than being born in the dumps of Nicaragua. You know, my kids, we were youth pastors and college pastors in St. Clair Shores, Michigan from 2000 to 2007 before becoming full-time missionaries in Nicaragua. So I drove my kids past their hospital where they were born. Bon Secure, which is now Beaumont, but there were 2, 4, and 5 when we left. And every time they come back, they say things that are kind of unique, and it comes from a different perspective. Like the other day, one of my sons goes, "Why are there numbers on houses?" You know, like, well, here they have addresses. They just don't say 3 blocks past the mango tree, you know? And the other time we were stateside, one of my other child was like, "Wow, America is rich, you know? You know, even the dogs have houses, you know?" So seeing the United States through my kids' eyes has been interesting. But when we're in Nicaragua, and as our family has been there, we just wanted to be the hands and feet to encourage them to walk in and say, "Hey, take heart, Rise up. God is calling you, you know? Because Jeremiah 29:11 wasn't just written for us here in Northville, that God has a hope, a plan, and a future for us, you know? It's written for them in Nicaragua. And we have seen God doing so many miracles and many great things in the country. But at times, you can go into a situation and become very hard. But thankfully, we have people praying for us so we can stay the course and not be discouraged. For example, for over 2 years, we were ministering in this dump 2 hours south of the capital. It's in Rivas. And your church has come to Nicaragua twice on mission trips. And this past year, we took them into this very dump I'm talking about. But before they arrived last year, we were there 2 years plus prior, just going and just trying to minister, love on the people. And you might be asking, why? Why do you go? Why do you go in the dumps? Really, why can't you just preach the gospel? We do preach the gospel, you know? We're just trying to do it without words, you know? And just like Jesus walking by, he could have just very said to the blind guy, I'm about to die for you. Just believe in me, right? Which is true, right? But he also said, what can I do for you? And he healed the blind guy. So we go into these dumps where they're looking for their livelihood, you know? I share with you how poor the country is. Can you imagine just going through the garbage looking for a plastic container so you can scrub it with chemicals, clean it all up, and cash it in for one Cordoba? And it costs around 30 Cordobas for one U.S. dollar. Or about a metal can. You can find a metal can and clean it up and cash it in for maybe two or three Cordobas, and you need 30 for a dollar. Or about Melissa, one of our kids in our feeding centers in Managua, where at one time was the largest open-air dump in Central America, where over 3,000 people lived inside the dump, and over 2,000 were kids. Melissa and her mom wakes up very early every single day before she goes to school. She's looking for oil filters. She's digging through the trash just for those oil filters. You know, the ones you get off the cars. She makes a pile of them, and she catches it on fire to burn away all the plastic. Then she takes some metal, and all the metal she collects from 116 oil filters, she can get around one U.S. dollar. They're just looking for one good warm meal a day. And God has given us a resource to provide food and disciple them. But we know very well that you can give them food and a full belly, then walk them straight to hell. We can put clothes on their backs, get them into school, and walk them straight into hell. It's about Jesus, and Jesus is enough. We've walked in homes. Bailey has walked in homes and prayed over people where you're like, how about you guys pray for us? Because it's just so full of God's presence and joy and peace. And all it is four sticks and plastic sides and dirt floor. And they're just singing, worshiping God. If my wife was here, she would tell you a story about a lady that she was going to go visit and drop off a bag of oatmeal. That was what we got oatmeal donated to us. The bag is worth maybe two U.S. dollars, and she was going to drop this off at this very elderly lady around 80 years old because she was the poorest person in the community. And before she even got to this house, this lady comes running out. Oh, it's you. It's you. And put her hands on my wife's face. And my wife would tell you a story about how this woman heard from God 3 days prior that my wife was going to visit her and bless her. And then she wanted to be ready, so she started sacrificing and praying. And she saved everything she had for 3 days, which was five tortillas, two avocados, and a pinch of salt. And blessed my wife with that when she arrived. You know? My wife would also tell you a story one day when she went into the Rivas dump. And she saw little Antonio, a little boy we know there, under cardboard. He was there for over 2 days. He got knocked out. Something happened. Because you see in the garbage dump, when the garbage truck comes in, the people will rush the truck and throw their like spears or sticks into it, claiming a bag, right? And if they get it, that's theirs, and they can look through. They got dibs to their bag. But one day, little Antonio, something happened. He fell off, hit his head, got knocked unconscious, and no one went looking for him. And my wife found him laying under cardboard. She cleaned him up, and luckily she knew where he lived, so she took him around the outskirts of the dump into his home, which is nothing more than just a dirt floor and a little shack. And my wife was a little upset because why? He's been missing for 2 days. And she walks in, and his sister, around 11 or 12 years old, standing there with like a child, a sibling that's under the age of one on her hip. You know, the three-year-old sibling's at her legs, and the other sibling's out in the corner playing. And it just dawned on my wife right now, I was like, why am I getting upset with these kids who are taking care of themselves? Because mom's not there, dad's not there. Mom's a prostitute, actually. But that's their life, that's their identity. But why was I born in the States and not in Nicaragua? And there's no guilt and shame, and there's no guilt and condemnation in Christ. But I just wanted to paint a picture of what we go into. And Jesus has to be enough, just like Jesus is enough for us. And so we go in and say, hey, take heart, have hope. God has a plan for your life. And we pray for them. Our students, our engaged students go, and they always pray for people. And Bailey, towards the end of her second semester, she was leading groups, stretching her, and praying for people. And this one time, a little over a year ago, we were in the Rivas dump, and we prayed for a guy, Maximo, our engaged students. We're going to show a video of a testimony. Maximo's healed, all because of students that decided to pray. But let me remind you, over 2 years, we were in this dump, and no salvations at all. Just trying to be Jesus with skin on. And here's this guy that heard about people praying for people on Saturdays. So he got on a back of a wagon and pulled by a horse around 5-6 kilometers, went to the dump because he heard about people praying. He couldn't walk, he was crippled. And let's share the video of what God did in his life.
Hi, I'm missionary Kendra Dout here in Nicaragua, and today I just want to introduce you to my friend Maximo, and he has an awesome testimony that he's going to share with us today.
Maximo, ¿puedes contar con nosotros el testimonio que tiene?
Andrés, la pierna, yo estaba fatal un día de esto, hace más o menos 10 días.
About 10 days ago, I was fatal, and I couldn't walk with, my right leg was hurting me so bad.
Sí, casi lloraba, entonces... Pedía a dos muchachas que me ayudaran.
And all I could do was I felt like crying, and I asked two of the young ladies that were with our team if they could pray for me.
Entonces ella tomó a una mujer y un varón para que le ayudaran también.
And so they looked for another lady and another man to pray with me also.
Y entonces oraron por mí.
They began to pray for me.
Yo me sentí tan alegre que confié en el Señor que con la oración de ellos.
I felt so happy that in my heart I really trusted the prayer that they were giving to the Lord.
Yo podía recibir ayuda de la pierna para pararme.
And I believed that God was going to help me and give me strength in my legs so that I could stand up and begin to walk.
Y cuando oramos unos 8 minutos más o menos.
We prayed for about 8 minutes. I felt like in my leg it began to burn a little bit. And then I began to get strength in my leg, and I began to stand up a little bit, but I wouldn't be able to walk. And we prayed for 2 more minutes.
Entonces, ella dejó ya la oración pidiéndole al Señor que me ayudara.
Then she began to close the prayer, asking God to please help him.
Y que pudiera firmar bien la pierna para que caminara ya.
And so that he would strengthen the leg and give it mobility so that he could be able to walk immediately.
Entonces cuando yo di unos pasos.
So I took a couple of steps.
Sentí más fuerte la pierna.
I could feel a little bit more strength in my leg that maybe I was going to be able to walk.
Y entonces les di las gracias a Dios primero y a los tres ellos.
I want to give thanks to God first and for the 3 people who took the time to pray for me.
Y ya de ahí para acá, yo tomo un carretón.
And so then, after they left, I began to walk and I looked for my cart, my horse and cart.
Yo voy a pie y traigo envases desde adelante río.
And I began to walk. I didn't ride the horse, and I walked my way all the way to Rivas, which is about 5 kilometers from here. He had his bag of rice that was donated over his shoulder and the bag of recyclables that he had looked for that day, and he walked all the way to Rivas.
Y entonces el día que vinieron, antier, ¿cuándo?
Sábado, creo.
Sábado. Le conté a Savannah y otros dos, al muchacho alto.
And so a few days ago when we came to visit and minister here in the dump, he looked for the girls that prayed for him, and he began to tell them
que ya caminaba bastante bien, un poco débil la pierna.
That my leg was only a little bit weak now, but now I could walk well.
Y que gracias a la ayuda de la oración delante de Dios, me pude ya parar para todos lados.
Amen. And then he said, and he wanted to give thanks to God because of God's strength that he had put into his leg, that now he could walk everywhere.
Ahora, gracias a la ayuda de ustedes también que nos dan con alimento.
And I want to tell you that I'm really grateful too for the rice that you've given and provided for us these weeks.
Siento que siguen orando más por mí aquí o allá.
Because I can feel the prayers that you're praying for me, whether it be here or there.
Voy a seguir sanando para caminar de aquí a Estados Unidos.
I'm going to continue to pray and believe God to heal my leg completely so I can walk all the way to the United States.
The testimony doesn't stop there. That was filmed, I think, in May of last year, like almost a year ago. And because of the people saw him get healed, immediately like 11 people got saved. And 4 other people got healed. And over 50 people got saved over the summer, some of via your team that went and visited and shared their testimonies. And so much so that Maximo approached us and said, where can I go to worship the God that has healed me? And he's like, he's absolutely correct. There was no church in the area. So last September, we're like, okay, so we're going to build a church right here at the entrance of the dump. And we raised funds in one whole month. And praise be to God that there is a church right outside the dump. And we inaugurated it this past February. And over 300 people was at that inauguration. And so God is doing some incredible things because God is a God of hope. He calls us to rise up because they can be so discouraged. It's like, oh, you don't understand. You're from the States, you know? It's like, you don't understand. It's like, yeah, God has a plan for your life, which led us over the course of the last couple of years because we love this generation coming up, you know? I kind of poked fun about our engaged students being sandpaper to me, but there's a reason why God didn't allow Billy Graham or Moses or Paul to be alive now, right? He has chosen this generation for such a time as this. So if God chooses to tarry, he's going to use them to bring in the last harvest. And so we are so thrilled for the possibility just to be a part of what God is doing in Nicaragua. And so we stepped out in faith and bought 26 acres of land. Why? Because we provide food for all those kids. Each day, over 38,000 kids get food from us. And it's not about feeding them. It's about discipling them. It's about raising them up. They can be doctors and nurses. They can be politicians. But they can be missionaries and pastors. But can you imagine a place that Sons of God National Church in Nicaragua does not have its own campground, but we are building one? Can you imagine a camp that's been functioning year-round, every 4 days, new kids coming? They can be kids. They can have fun. They can be loved and accepted and allow God to touch them. God only knows how that land is going to be used as far as maybe a tech school or teach them how to do English. If you have a Discover credit card, I don't know if you know this, but you call the back of it, you're not calling India, you're calling Nicaragua. And so if they have no English, you know, what's exciting is, without giving too much details, and I'll wrap this up with this, is that when your team came few times to Nicaragua, they landed in Managua, and they paid $10, and the passport control person stamped their passport, and they could stay for up to 90 days. The truth is, there's certain countries in this world that if you're a U.S. citizen, it doesn't matter how much money you have, they're not letting you in because they don't like U.S. citizens. Long story short, those same countries that don't like U.S. citizens are buddies with Nicaragua. Nicaragua used to be the second poorest, now it's the third poorest, but thanks to a lot of countries that have been helping. China, Russia, Iran has been pouring a lot of money into the country. And it's improving some things, but it's interesting. But how I see it how I see it, if God chooses a Terry, can you imagine a little kid like Antonio was born in the dump? Antonio, let's go to camp for 3 days. He gets touched by God. He can learn a trade there, learn English. Maybe I want to be a missionary. I want to be like that sweaty ball guy you are. I want to go and tell people about Jesus. And guess what countries he can go to that U.S. citizens can't go to? I'm just dreaming. I'm just thinking that God has an ultimate plan like he always does. Just like the blind guy on the side of the road. The blind guy knew Jesus, son of David, was the Messiah, was walking by. And he sees the opportunity of a lifetime, because the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of that opportunity. And he called out. He didn't care how others who were around Jesus were saying, be quiet. He was desperate. And God healed him. Take heart, rise up. I'm sending you, I'm calling you. And what's interesting about that passage, about the blind guy, he threw off the cloak and he followed Jesus. And a few years ago, there's a lot of spiritual warfare on the mission field. But I got to a point where I was singing that song and praying, God, I just want more. And God kind of spoke to me and said, Ken, I already gave you everything. I gave everything who I am to you, completely to you. Maybe you need something off maybe you need to get rid of something. So I just want to share that with you, Northville. Be encouraged today. Well, I'm being encouraged because God is using you in Nicaragua in a powerful, powerful way. This is not about Ken and Kendra, at all. This is what God is doing, and he's used this church. And so thank you so much. We're going to show a really quick video of what God is, our next stage, what God has challenged us to do. But please remember, if you forget any of this, please pick up a prayer card on your way out and pray for us, okay? There's a little saying I say all the time, one act of obedience is 10,000 times better than 10,000 good intentions. And I tell my engaged students, it can just be a quick shout out. My daughter, I know her voice. She, Dad, I'm going to recognize it. Sometimes I want a longer discussion. She's good like that. This morning I was sitting there, I said, Dad, hold the microphone closer to your mouth. I said, okay. They're great. They're going to get spoiled. I'm taking them to Cedar Point. They don't know what they're going to. Tomorrow they go to Cedar Point. And so they think my driving in Nicaragua is fun. But thank you for praying for us. And thank you for praying for your missionaries, all 70-plus missionaries. Let's take a look at this video. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Missionary Kendra Dowd in Nicaragua. And today we have the awesome opportunity to tell you what God has been doing here. God has given us and opened up the door for 26 acres of land where we are going to build a camp, a place of refuge, and a place of hope for children. We need your help. We want to partner together to see 10 cabins just like this one behind us be built. Not just cabins, we need a well, and we also need a camp that's fun. We need a pool, a baseball diamond, a volleyball court, a soccer field. These are things that we want to be able to have kids come in from all over Nicaragua to be able to experience Christ's love for the first time in a real way. We feed 28,000 kids every day in Nicaragua, kids that have greater trials and tragedies every day of their life than any of us could imagine. We want to bless them. We want to share Christ's love with them, and we want a place to bring them to, a place of refuge and a place of hope. Will you help us make that happen? We need construction teams, and we're looking for people to help us to donate towards the construction of these cabins that we're in the process of building. And we want you to be a part of what God is doing here. We give him all the glory and all the honor for everything that he's done in this place. And we're excited to be able to share with you the testimonies of the great things that God's going to do in the lives of these young children, transforming them and preparing them to follow him for the rest of their days. Thanks, and God bless.
Church, we have got to be a part of what God is calling us to do. But before we close, would you just sing this little chorus that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Thank you. Is that really your decision? Is that really what you've decided to do, is to follow him all the days of your life? Church, for us to keep doing missions, it starts with you making that decision to let Jesus be Lord of your life. And then letting Jesus guide you in all the days ahead. I want to continue to be a part of what God is doing in Nicaragua, but I need him to be a part of what he's doing in your life. Would you just bow your heads for a moment? If you're in this room today and you've not really surrendered your life to Jesus, we want you to have that opportunity to make him Lord of your life, to make him King Jesus, just like we're telling those in Nicaragua. And this morning, with your hands, you can just lift them up and say, I surrender my life. I want to decide to follow him. But if that's you, would you just lift your hand, whether you're in the balcony or the main floor, would you just lift it up and you can put it right back down? Just want to give that opportunity today. I don't see hands this morning, church. Look at me. And I don't know if I can just take for granted that we all are doing that. But I want us to make a decision that what we're doing first, so that we can serve our missionaries who go and serve on behalf of us. Today, I want to just close by simply, a worship team come, and I want to challenge us to go by the table. Shake hands with Ken if you feel like you need to do that. Just shake his kids if you feel like you need to do that. But would you pick up a prayer card? Something you said in first service, you kind of said it in second, but not quite as clearly. He said, even if you pray for 5 seconds. And he was trying to clarify that, listen, our God hears our prayers and he answers. And if you would just lift our missionaries up and plaster their cards all over somewhere in your house, your car, your make a file of them, pull them out and say, Lord, you know everyone, but lift them before heaven. What they're doing on ground in Nicaragua, I can't do. But I can pray, and God sends, and God provides. This campground that they're trying to place, we were there last summer. We stood there. They orientated us. They took us there first to show us what God is doing and what he can do. But we're going to need to be a part of that. Whether it's a team that goes or monetary supply, we can be a part. So church, I'm challenging you. Let's be a part. But I'm going to also go one step further this morning. If you want to connect with the doubts individually, every week, if that's something that God puts on your heart, you can write on one of the envelopes right in the line where it says missions, and you just write Nicaragua or doubts. And what we give to them monthly will continue to go, and we'll add yours to it. Why? Because we believe in missions. In fact, we're not the largest church in Michigan, but praise God, we were in the top 10 of giving churches here in Michigan. We were number 3 in the division of churches in the nation. You need to know our church is number 3 in missions giving. Amen. That is nationwide for our size church. God is using us. We're going to keep going into missions and doing what God has called us to do. Why? It's the story that has to be told. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we just ask you to continue to work in our hearts. Lord, continue to use this church as we reach out, Lord, and we send, and we provide, and we give, and we go. Lord, thank you that you would choose us. We're not the people just standing and gazing. Lord, we're the people who you've sent as missionaries. And we give to our missionaries. We go. And we want to do what you've called us to do. We don't want to stand still. We want to be active in our living for you. So, Lord, have your way through this church. And may you receive all the glory that's due your name and your name alone. Jesus. Amen. Well, listen, church, next week, Pastor Chuck is going to be preaching because, amen, I've asked him to preach. I'm going to be away. In fact, me and my wife celebrated 28 years of marriage yesterday. and I'm going to take her away. And so if you'll just bear with us and give us a week to just, we're going to spend time together and we're not taking kids. I don't know if we've ever done this, sweetheart. So be kind of excited. I think we have broke away, but we're just going to take some time and for ourselves and let the Lord refresh us. And we're looking forward to being back and see what God's got in the days ahead. But you're going to be in good hands as the staff will be here. They'll take care of you. But listen, we love you, and I want you to have a Jesus-filled week. Amen? God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus. Go ahead, worship team.